There's a gospel song that serves as the title of this message. And the gospel song says that you must be faithful over a few things before you can be ruler over many. Faithful over a few things before you are to be ruler over many things. And so it is that the Lord is giving some important teachings today. This sermon that the Lord preached some 2,000 years ago is now given to us today, and I'm asked to comment on it. But it's the Lord's sermon. The Lord is preaching, and he does his sermon in two parts. The first part is the analysis of the sinner, and then secondly, the advice to the saints, or at least those of us who would be saints. Now, let's look at this first part, the analysis of the sinner. The Lord describes a certain dishonest steward. It says here, I want you to first of all notice the definition of the sinner. It says that a rich man had a steward. A steward. Now, what is a steward? A steward is someone who has care over something that belongs to someone else. Are you praying with me? You don't own it. Someone else does. But you've been asked to take care of it. Now, brothers and sisters, that's what we are. You don't own anything. It all belongs to God. We like to talk about how some things are ours. I got mine. You know, it's on loan. I got news for you. It's on loan. Belongs to God. And you see, what happens is when we think of ourselves as owners and not stewards, we generally are setting ourselves up for sin. So we get this attitude, you know, it's mine. I can do what I want with it. We talk, we say, I get to call the shots. It's mine. Now, maybe in terms of each other, we have property rights. But don't you ever think you got property rights with God. It's all his. And what happens, though, is, again, we begin to act like we own, and we can just do what we please with what God has given. Another common statement that comes up a lot is, I can do what I please with my own body. Well, even your body isn't your own. The Bible says you were purchased and at a price. So glorify God in your body. So again, nothing that we have belongs to us. That money that you have, that's tainted money. It taint yours. That the children that you have, they're God's children. They don't belong to you. God put them in your care. But they're his children before they're your children. That house you have, the pew you're sitting on, whatever, it all belongs to God. There's another gospel song or a Christian song that says, God and God alone created all these things we call our own. From the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. And so it is the first, if you will, description of the sinner in this is that he is a steward. It says that there is a rich man that he works for. How many of you know God is rich? All right. And this man is not an owner, but rather a steward. He is to take care of the rich man's assets in the way that the man would have him do. So that's what it means to be a steward. So, fellow sinners, the first thing the Lord wants to remind us of is that we are, if you will, stewards. Stewards. We're to use God's gifts, not as owners, but as stewards. That is to say, those who would use our gifts in the way that God would have us use them. Now, this leads to the second issue with the sinner. Not only is he defined, but we also see not only the definition of the sinner, but the dissipation of the sinner. It says that he was reported to the rich man for squandering the man's property. To squander means to diminish something, to dissipate it, to diminish it. And he did this basically through dishonesty. There's other ways we can diminish God's kingdom. It's not always that we're dishonest. Sometimes we're just plain lazy. Sometimes we dissipate or diminish God's kingdom simply by unintentionally, but still misusing what God has asked us to do. And so it is that this sinner that's described is not only a steward, he's defined, but he is also described as dissipating the kingdom. Now, God has given you and me time, talent, treasure, gifts of many kinds. And why did he give us these gifts? He said, here, take these and build up the kingdom of God. Build it up. Increase it. Make it grow. But the danger for us is that we take the gifts he has given us, and instead of growing the kingdom, we dissipate it. We diminish it. We harm the kingdom. A few examples. How many of you like to talk? We all like to talk. Isn't it a great gift that God gave us to be able to speak? Something goes on in our mind and our heart, and we're able to, through a miraculous process, convert it into little waves that go through our nerves, that move our muscles and our larynx, and we push air over it, and out come the words, and someone's able to hear. It's an amazing gift, amen? Don't ever fail to be amazed at your gift to speak and to hear. What a gift. And yet, why did God give this gift? Scripture says, speak only the good things that people need to hear, things that will really help them. God gave us the gift of speech to instruct, to admonish, to encourage, to build up, to correct, and so on. And so it is that we have received this great gift, but so often, instead of building up the kingdom, we tear it down by backbiting, by gossip, by harsh and mean-spirited and unnecessarily critical words. Instead of building up the kingdom, we dissipate it, we tear it down, we discourage people, we incite anger, and so on. Now, there are times where we have to say difficult things to one another. But if you do, make sure you say it in love. Don't dissipate the kingdom. God gave you and me the gift of speech to build up the kingdom, not to dissipate, not to tear it down. God gave you and me money. He's going to deal with money here in a minute, more specifically. Why did God give you money? Well, to help you to make your way. But also, brothers and sisters, and he's very clear about this all the way through, God gave you and me not just what we need, but most of us have excess. Come on, don't tell me you don't have some excess. We've all got stuff we don't really need. We live very well here in America. The Lord gave us generously because he wants us to turn and be generous with others. Are you praying with me? Charity begins at home, so we ought to bless our family, take care of our children, provide for them and prepare them for their future. Beyond that, though, charity begins at home, but it doesn't end there. We ought to reach out and bless the poor. We've been given an awful lot. Church, we live in America. Even the poorest of the poor live so much better here than many other places in the world. And the Lord says, I've given you an abundance. And remember, it's not yours. Your income, your money, your things, your stuff. It's not yours, it's mine. And I've given you some of these things, and I expect you to share some of these things. And share abundantly, because I've given you abundantly. So it is, you see, but too often, instead of building up the kingdom, blessing the poor, and really preparing and saving up for our children's future, we dissipate the gifts that God has given us on lots of frills and stupid things that don't really matter. And because we spend all kinds of money and just waste it on things that we don't really need, we're not as able to bless the poor. We're not as able to take care of our kids and their needs. And there's all kinds of things, and we just put it on the credit card, and before you know it, we're in big trouble. And instead of building up the kingdom, we've dissipated, torn it down, put it at risk. You see what I'm saying? But all these gifts that God gives us, the gift of our time, our talents, our treasure, our abilities. God says, they belong to me and I've given them to you. But remember, you're a steward. Build up the kingdom with these gifts. Don't tear the kingdom down. Now, I want to give a positive example. I don't want it to just all be negative. You see, yesterday, there were about 60 of us who gathered. And we worked real hard yesterday afternoon. We built up the kingdom. We used our time to go out and speak about Jesus Christ and this parish and to get to know our neighbors. And some of us stayed here and we prayed. And some of us were cooking and preparing a meal upon the prayers and the walkers' return. Church, what a thing to celebrate yesterday. That some of us took the time that God gives us, took our ability to pray, our ability to walk, our ability to talk, our ability to not be shy and reach out and relate to people. God gave us these gifts. Someone say amen. And to be able to say, Lord, I want to use these gifts right now for the next hour just to build up your kingdom. Praise the Lord, church. You see, all these gifts that we call our own are God's, and God's alone. And He is so pleased when we use them for the purpose that He intended. So you see, this sinner is described as a steward. Sadly, because he is a sinner, instead of building the kingdom, he's dissipating it. He's reducing the wealth of the man to whom the money belongs. And instead of building it up, he's through theft, through embezzlement, is sending out that wealth in a way that the owner does not intend. And again, for all of us, we need God's mercy for the times we dissipate His kingdom. We need His grace so we can build His kingdom. And so this sinner is defined. He's a steward. He's described as dissipating the wealth. And then finally, in terms of this first half of the Lord's homily, the Lord says, not only do we have the definition of the sinner and the dissipation by the sinner, but finally, the death of the sinner. Church, it says here in the text, the rich man summoned the steward and said, what is this that I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship because you can no longer be my steward. Now pay attention, church. Your stewardship and mine will end. We will die, and our stewardship will be ended, and we will then need to appear before the Lord and render an account of our stewardship. St. Paul says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and render an account for what we have done in the body, whether good or ill, that we may receive punishment or recompense, that is to say, reward. And so it is, brothers and sisters. We're going to die. Now, don't let that pass you by. Stop on that a minute. Pay attention. You are going to die. Let that sink in for a minute. Because I think a way a lot of people live their life, they're not thinking about that. I'm going to die, and it may be sooner than I think. I can't even promise you'll get out of this church alive. Tomorrow is not promised. You're going to die, and your stewardship is going to come to an end, and you will be required to render an account. Did you dissipate the kingdom, or did you build it up? And so it is. The Lord is describing the sinner. Now, we're all in the category sinner, so let's pay attention. We're stewards. We're called to build up, not to dissipate the kingdom, and we will be called to render an account. Now, please remember to pray for those who have died. The Lord wants us to remember that we're all going to stand before Him one day in judgment. I'm afraid too many Christian funerals today just skip a step. We all gather and you hear, oh, they're in heaven now. Okay, but the Bible doesn't say when you die you go straight to heaven. The Bible says when you die you're judged. We ought to pray, amen? Pray for the souls of the faithful departed. Pray for them. Now, yes, the Bible says to those who are faithful, their destination is ultimately heaven. But don't forget, the Bible doesn't say you die and go straight to heaven. The Bible says you die and you appear before the judgment seat. Pay attention. pray. Prepare for your own death. Realize that you have to render an account. And I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the one who judged me is the one who died for me, all right? Who loves me. But nevertheless, it'll be a time of honesty, won't it? A time of honesty. And if the Lord needs to wipe some tears from our eyes or bring us some final purifications, he'll take care of it. But we ought to pray for those who have died. So here we go, sinners. The first half of the Lord's sermon is done. It says here that he defines thus those of us who are sinners as stewards. He then requires us to remember that we are not to dissipate the kingdom, but we're to build it up. And finally, he reminds us, we will die, and we will render an account. So then the Lord's second half says, given all that, let me give you some advice. The Lord says, let me give you some advice. And the advice to the saints, those of us who would be saints, is fourfold. There are four basic principles that the Lord gives us. The first principle is the principle of intensity. Intensity. Now, he tells a very strange thing about this dishonest steward that he's been teaching us through. He says that when the master found out that his steward had been embezzling funds, he gave him credit for being devious. Now, be careful what the Lord is teaching here. He's not saying it's good to be devious. He's not saying that's a good thing to be dishonest. He's not saying that the embezzlers, blessed are the embezzlers, for they shall get it all. He's saying that the intensity of this man is to be praised. And he makes this conclusion. He says, for the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind, namely the world, than are the children of light. He's saying, would that my would-be saints would be as passionate, as clever, as dedicated to holiness as some people are to the world. And frankly, most of us know in our own life that we can become very dedicated about things that matter to us. Most of you have a career. And in order to get that career, you went off to college. Now, I know you did other things than just study all the time in college. I was not born yesterday. But nevertheless, in the end, when we went to college, all of us, we studied. We had to pass tests. We had to pay a lot of money for it. All to get a piece of paper that says, I'm qualified. And then we got a job, and we had to get up early. We have to go there. Sometimes we have to travel. Sometimes we have to work late. If it's raining, we still go. Hello? If the weather is good, we still go. And so on. You see, we're dedicated because there's a paycheck at the end of that thing. We know how to be dedicated, how to be persistent and consistent in worldly matters. And we're willing to make sacrifices. Maybe if I work a little overtime, the boss will be pleased. I'll get the promotion and I can afford the house in the suburbs with a cathedral ceiling and the 80-inch wide flat screen TV. By the way, I want you to go out and look at your electrical meter while that thing is running, okay? Hello? Now, we know how to be intense and passionate about worldly things. But when it comes to our faith, well, I guess I'll fake it till I make it. We're just kind of vague and uncertain. You know, if you knew that getting an MBA would help you to get a better job, you'd probably go to school and study. But if you knew that studying your faith and coming down to Bible or to our Sunday school, where we have a session for all the adults and the parents, could help you to become more holy and assure your entrance into the kingdom, well, Father, I'm kind of busy, you know. I'm kind of busy. I don't know if I can do all that. But we'll go off and go to night school to get the MBA. You see the vision? We know how to get passionate and intense about worldly things. We know our work schedule. You know what time you're getting up tomorrow. You know what time you're going to be at work. Do you know what time you're going to pray tomorrow? Do you know what time you plan to read Scripture? You probably have your week laid out. Have you worked out how you're going to be at church next Sunday? Now, most of you are successful in that, praise God. But there's some folks that say, well, you know, I'm just so busy, I can't fit church in. I don't know when to pray. You know when your favorite TV show is on, and you are there. Oh, the intensity of the worldly and the boredom of the saints. The lack of planning. And that's what the Lord's getting at here. He's not praising this guy for being an embezzler. He's saying, now he has an attitude that you could afford to imitate. He says, man, I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose everything if I don't get myself together. And he gets a plan together and he works on it. Well, brothers and sisters, we are under the same sentence. Left to myself and depending only on my own flesh and my own decisions, I am headed straight for hell. Unless I give myself to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, you're the only one who can save me. And Lord, I'm going to just devote myself to prayer, to reading your word, and to just building my life in your kingdom. You see, again, this man that the Lord is praising, he's not praising what he does, but he's praising the attitude. All right, so you see, the first principle in his advice to the saints is intensity. How intense are you? Do you have a fire in your belly for the kingdom of God? Are you excited? See? And again, I know many of you are. You know, if the shoe fits in terms of this negative stuff, wear it. If it doesn't, let it pass over you. Just praise God that he's rescued you and given you a sense of priorities. Amen? Praise God. So, now, the second principle that the Lord says is not just intensity, but investment. The Lord says he's getting back to money now, but money's a symbol of wider things. He says here, I tell you then, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, this gets back to what we were saying earlier about the problem of dissipation. The Lord is saying, look, pay attention, he's saying to us. Use the gifts I've given you and invest them for the future. You know, there's an old saying that you can't take it with you. You've heard that, right? But, you know, that's not exactly what the Bible says. The Bible really says you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Now, what am I getting at? Over and over again, the Lord says to us, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. In the book of Revelation, the Lord says, blessed are the dead in the Lord. Their good deeds have gone on ahead of them. Church, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Now, the paradox of sending something on ahead is that you have to be willing to part with it now. Now, you already do this if you got a 401k or you got a 403b. Now, what do you do every month? Every month there is some money that should go to my bank account that goes over to T. Rowe Price. And I don't get to touch that money. I don't get to see it. And if I do try to use it, the government, the man will come after me and punish me because he wants me to store something up for the future. Amen? So that money goes out of my possession. In order to have it for the future, I have to take it and get rid of it, so to speak. Put it in someone else's hands. And it'll earn interest. It'll sit there. And when I get old and decrepit, I still won't need the money. I'll just give it away, all right? But in the end, you see the vision, right? You know how to do this in a worldly way. The Lord is saying the same thing. He says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. How? How do we take, for example, our money and store it up in heaven? By giving it to someone else. By parting with it. The book of Ecclesiastes in the 11th chapter says, cast your bread on the water. It'll come back to you after many days. You know how that works. You ever done that? You maybe throw a little leaf out in a pond and the rings set up in the water and the rings bring it right back to shore, don't they? Try it. It works. Cast your bread in the water. It'll come back to you after many days. The paradox is if you want to store something up in heaven, you don't put it in a balloon and send it up. That's not how it works. You give it to the needy, to the poor, to good causes. And in that way, you're investing it for the future. You're storing it up in heaven. Now, you won't need money in heaven. The point is not money, but the point is your mansion, your blessings, your glory in heaven is going to be even greater if you use your gifts here wisely. Are you praying with me? And it's not just about money. It's about your time. It's about your talent. It's about every gift that the Lord has given you. He says, be smart, be wise. Use and invest these things wisely. And I promise you, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You will store up for yourselves treasure in heaven when you are generous to others. So you see the principle of investment. Now, I want to take an aside and say one thing in this text. The Lord refers to some, he says here, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth. So that when it fails you, and it will, your money's going to fail you. You cannot buy your way out of death. You may buy a more comfortable bed to die in, but you will still die. Your money's going to fail you. Why does the Lord call it dishonest wealth? First of all, it's a Jewish expression. And more commonly today, we might say it just means worldly wealth. But it doesn't just mean worldly wealth. And I want to point this out to you, because I think we all have to become more aware of what's happening in our world. Are you aware? The dishonesty of the wealth simply comes to this. There's so much injustice in the world that almost none of the money that comes to us is untainted. You know, we live very well in America. And I want to start by saying economies are very complicated and very difficult. But, you know, one of the reasons we live so well in America is because some other people get slave wages to make us live conveniently, to help us live conveniently. There are people in other parts of the world that make the products that we use who earn little more than a pittance for what they do. And they live very shabbily compared to us. We go, we pick out a little shirt, we say, isn't this great? When you do, remember, it was probably made and put together by someone in another part of the world who doesn't live anywhere close to the way you and I live. I realize that economies are complicated. I'm not up here to talk about boycotts and all these things. I'm just asking you to have a heart, a place in your heart, for the fact that all the wealth and the ease that we have in this country, is some of it is rooted in injustice. And we may not be able to solve it by ourselves, but the more we can become aware of it, the more we can begin to understand that all the immigrants who come to our country who work for tiny wages and do the jobs that many of us wouldn't even think of doing helps us to live more comfortably. And because of the injustices that are in the world, because some people have benefits and others don't, because some have health care and others don't, because some have nice big fancy houses and others live in little better than a cardboard box, that's the injustice of our world. And Amos railed against it in the first reading. He says, he talks about the dishonesty and the corruption of the world. And I'm not trying to blame all of us here personally, but I'm just asking you to pray about it. That in calling our money dishonest wealth, the Lord is reminding us that none of us have perfectly clean hands. Much of our comfort, much of the things that we take for granted, come at a very high price to other people. And the more we can be aware of justice, the more we can be generous to the poor, the more we can be aware that so many of the things we take for granted come to us at a very high cost. It may cost you $1.50, but it costs somebody else a lot more. Brothers and sisters, that's what this phrase dishonest wealth means. So the Lord is saying, look, you've been blessed. And some of the blessings have come to you from a very questionable world system that's rooted very often in injustice, it's rooted very often in inequity. Just realize you can't solve it all. You're always going to have the poor. But pray, and because of this, learn to be generous, generous, generous to the poor. You don't know how much you've been blessed. That money, the Jewish people just called it dishonest wealth because they sort of had an understanding that the world is an unfair, unjust, and inequitable system that we can't fix
But if we benefit from it, we ought to at least turn around and remember to be generous with those who have not been as fortunate. Can I get an amen? So that was an aside, but it's related. The Lord is saying, look, have some intensity in your life. Remember to invest wisely. Wisely. Use the time, the talent, the treasure, the gifts, and the things I've given you. Use them to benefit others, to build up the kingdom, to help the poor, to help the needy, to help your children, to help anyone in need. But use them, and in so doing, it's a good and a wise investment. You're a wise steward because you're storing up treasure in heaven for yourself. And the Lord then goes on to give us a third principle. He says not only should we have intensity and investment, but we should also have an experience and we will increase. Now, the Lord is saying all your blessings don't have to wait for heaven, because I want to promise you something. If you've been faithful in a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. If you have been faithful in small matters, I'm going to be more generous to you in bigger matters. Here's the text. A person, he says, who is trustworthy in a small matter will be trustworthy in a great one. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in greater ones. So if you're not even trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? What is true wealth? The things of the kingdom, the things of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is saying to us, if you want more blessings, use well the blessings you've already been given. And if you are using well the blessings that you've already been given, then you're trustworthy. I can trust you with my gifts. If you're generous with the poor and your money, I can give you more money. If you are generous with your time, I can give you peace and serenity so that you feel like you have more time. If you're generous with your talents and using your blessings, I'll give you more because you're someone I can trust. Are you praying with me? Some years ago, there was this famous prayer it was a bestseller book, where the prayer was, Lord, increase my territory. Remember that prayer? A best-selling book. But if you want the Lord to increase your territory, then use well the land you've already been given. Bloom where you're planted, do well there, and the Lord may well give you more. You see the vision? So the Lord is saying, if you're faithful, if you're faithful, if you have an intensity and you're investing your time, your talent, your resources in a wise manner, I want you to know something. You're going to experience increase. Now, we've talked about this with the tithe, haven't we? When you and I get faithful with the tithe, I don't know about you, I'm a witness though, that when I got faithful with the tithe, God gave me more. And God didn't just give me more by giving me a higher income. God gave me more by helping me not to waste on stupid stuff the income I did have. See the vision? So God is saying, try me in this. You be a wise investor and just see if I don't give you an increase, if I don't give you blessings. It may not be money for money or time for time, but I'm going to give you a blessing even here. You'll be storing it up in heaven, but I'll bless you even here. Now that's the third of the four. And then, so there's intensity, investment, increase, and then finally, indivisibility. The Lord just finally says, look, make a decision in this. You can't serve the world and me. Now, I don't know about you, church, but I got to get on my knees. I would, but you wouldn't be able to see me anymore. My head would be down here. But I don't know about you, but when I hear this, you can't serve God and money, you know, that's a hard one, isn't it? We're all worried about worldly things. It's not just money, but we're worried about someone's health. We're worried about, you know, all kinds of stuff. The world really gets its hooks in us, doesn't it? I just simply say to you, get on your knees and say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know how to make a decision. I'm trying to do two things at once, and I'm a mess. Anyone here a mess, or is it just me? Help me, Lord, to make a decision. And the Lord says, now that you're on your knees, I can finally work with you. I can finally really give you a blessing. And now, I'm going to help you to begin to set priorities. I'm going to begin to help you to see what's really important in your life. And you're going to begin to work, and you're going to begin to have a whole new mind and a new heart and different priorities. The Lord can do this for us, brothers and sisters. And I'm a witness. He's doing it in my life. And I'll bet some of you are a witness too. The Lord can change us. so that all the stuff we used to be all worked up about doesn't bother us anymore. All the stuff about worrying about this or that and stuff, where we're more serene, we're more confident, and we just trust God and we keep building the kingdom. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a long homily, and the Lord gave us a homily in two parts. So here's a quick summary. The Lord simply describes the sinner, and he describes him as a steward who's called not to dissipate, but to build up the kingdom. And he warns that sinner, us, that we're going to die one day and have to render an account. So he gives us some advice. He says, have the same intensity that you have for worldly things that you have for spiritual things, and it'll be just fine. Have the same intensity that sinners have for their sin as you that you should have for your grace, and you'll be fine. So have intensity. Invest wisely. Use your gifts wisely to be generous with others. And I'll give you increase. And I warn you, you can't be divided. You've got to make a decision. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be ruler over many things, you need to be faithful over a few things. And if I'm faithful over a few things, the Lord can make me ruler over many things, but I better be faithful in a few things. And church, there's reward waiting for us if we hear God today and we say, Lord, help! And we say that one day, if we're faithful, the Lord's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what we want to hear from the Lord. So take advice from the Lord today. Remember, you're a steward. Use your gifts wisely. Be generous. Cast your bread on the water. It'll come back to you. The Lord will give you increase. And the Lord will give you a single-minded devotion to Him that'll steer you right straight into the kingdom of heaven. But remember, if you want to be ruler over many things, I'm talking about up in heaven, you got to be faithful here over a few things. Amen.